Jayam Vishnu Pada Dharamha Supreme Vajikacharya Asto Tavasa Tisishumaris Divine Grace Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnu Pada Dharamha Supreme Vajikacharya Asto Tavasa Tisishumaris Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananda Guri Vaishnavind Ki Antarashmad Bhagavad Gita Ki Vitae Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namaste. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Hare Krishna
Hare
So this evening's lectures from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13, which is entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And the text is text 24. So please repeat. I'll wait for a minute for a few people on the cell phone trying to find it, which is nice too. Chapter 13, text 24. Alright, please repeat. Ya,
ya
evam,
evam
veti,
veti
purusham,
purusham
prakritim,
prakritim
cha,
cha
gunai,
gunai
saha,
saha
sarvata,
sarvata
atmano,
atmano
pi,
Na,
sa,
buyo,
vijayate, ya evam veti purusham,
ya evam veti purusham,
ya evam veti purusham, prakritim cha gunai saha,
prakritim cha gunai saha.
Prakritim cha gunesaha
Prakritim cha gunesaha
Sarvata vatamano pi
Sarvata vatamano pi
Sarvata vatamano pi
Sarvata vatamano pi
Nasa buyo vijayate
Nasa buyo vijayate
Nasa buyo vijayate
Nasa buyo vijayate
Recipe.
Ya,
ya.
Anyone.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Thus.
Veti.
Veti.
Understands.
Understands.
Purusham.
Purusham.
The living entities.
The living entities.
Prakritim.
Prakritim.
Material nature.
Material nature.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Gunai.
Gunai.
Modes of material nature.
Modes of material nature.
Saha.
Saha.
With. Sarvatha,
Sarvatha,
by all means,
by all means.
Vatamana,
Vatamana,
situated,
situated.
Api,
Api,
in spite of,
in spite of.
Na,
Na,
never,
never.
Sa,
Sa,
he,
he.
Huya,
Huya,
again.
Again.
Abhijayate,
Abhijayate,
takes his birth.
Right.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Please repeat. One who understands this philosophy,
one who understands this philosophy
Concerning material nature.
Concerning material nature.
The living entity.
The living entity.
And the interaction.
And the interaction.
Of the modes of nature.
Of the modes of nature.
Is sure to attain liberation.
Is sure to attain liberation.
He will not take birth here again.
He will not take birth here again.
Regardless of his present position.
Regardless of his present position.
Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. Om Agnati Milanyasya Jnana Gna Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Upakadamayam Tadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagitatam Sagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sivichakam Vitamscha E Krishna Kruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhivya Evacha Patitana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschachyadi Sitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurati She Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigvahaya Himavya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahapne Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So I'll read the translation again. You don't have to repeat. And I'm begging your permission and guidance from my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, His spiritual master, our Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and the Parampara, to use me to teach you what they want you to hear. So translation. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So, this is Sri Krishna speaking about what happens here and the way life goes on here meaning here in the material world. The understanding of the philosophy concerning the material nature, the living entity which is in material nature temporarily,
some people permanently, they want to stay here longer, but that's not true of our Father's program. We are here temporarily. And the interaction of the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and how they interact. One who understands this philosophy concerning the material world, we as living entities, leading life that connects with these three modes, and how the three modes play into our life, we understand that. It's basically Sankhya philosophy, if you think about it. That person, Sri Krishna is saying, is sure to attain liberation. That person will not take birth in the material world again, regardless of his present position. So if we understand the philosophy, then liberation is assured. Which means the philosophy is such that we understand it and want to get out of here. Otherwise, there's no question about liberation there. The philosophy is such that when we understand it, we're going to want to leave. And Krishna will make it available for us to leave. Not only to leave, but come back to this place. Okay? Therefore, obviously, if you see Krishna, the most powerful, the controller, is saying that this understanding, if we have it, of the philosophy, we're not going to come back, we'll be liberated. Then he's making a point that material life is certainly not the life to be focused on as the all in all. We can't say that we can't live a material life. As long as we have a material body, we're going to have to do some things in material nature. Some things. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, clear understanding of material nature, clear understanding of the super soul, who is Krishna, inside the body of every living entity. Then the individual soul, who is also inside the body of a living entity, and their interrelation, material nature, super soul, individual soul, and the modes, how they interact, makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. So the result of this knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has fallen into this material existence. We do not belong here. We're falling here, and by the person's personal endeavor, that is determination, and the association with devotees, and the help given by Krishna himself, and Krishna's representatives, and Krishna himself coming as his own representative, Lord Chaitanya, all of that. If we take that seriously and realize the fortunate position that we're in, then with that understanding, liberation is assured. And a person who understands that never comes back to this material nature. So in many of the higher institutions all around the world, including this country, where Srila Prabhupada went to when he was here, he asked well-known scholars who have been writing books, the students read, who have been conferring PhDs on students and graduate students. So he asked them a simple question. Do you understand who you are? Do you understand who you are? Do you understand where you've come from? Do you understand why you're suffering? Do you even realize you're suffering? Well, people don't even know that. And if you realize how that you're suffering, do you understand how to remove this suffering, this misery, and the repetition of birth and death? Do you understand where we will go when death takes this body from you? So, many of these questions, I happen to have watched a video of Srila Prabhupada sitting with some of these well-known scholars, and seeing is believing, right? So I'm looking at him, and some of these questions he asked, but he also asked another question which I'll add to, because he repeated it a number of times. He says, you don't know God. You do not know God. And here I am presenting God to you. So why do you not accept? Yes, about three times. You don't know God. I am presenting God to you. What's the problem? Nobody could answer. The video is on them. Everybody is quiet. You can just see them. Everybody is quiet. Everybody has a little concern in their face, but nobody would speak. It's interesting how when we really should consider how fortunate we are. We accept Krishna so easily. But so many people can see Lord Jagannath and not see Lord Jagannath. The eyes can see, but the mind would not click and connect that here is God. They won't. So Sri Papa says, do you understand who you are? Do you understand where you come from? Why you're suffering? You're suffering because in the material world, there is no suffering in the spiritual world. How to remove the misery and where you will go when you die. So Krishna explains his real knowledge. Material nature, living entity, the interactions of modes of material nature, how they interact, how they all relating together, and who God is. All of that's explained. Now, so let's look at it one by one. The material world, physical material world, it's a world of no consciousness. The material world is a world of no consciousness. When the spirit is injected into the material world, then there is consciousness. Consciousness comes from the soul. It's the spiritual part that provides consciousness. That's why in the beginning, when things haven't unfolded in the material world, we call it what the unmanifested. Unmanifested, there's no consciousness then. But the Lord injects his own potency. And of course, with Lord Brahma and Garbhodaksha Vishnu, so much unfoldment happens there. And with the soul being present, then consciousness is. So for every living entity, it is actually the soul that gives consciousness. The physical body is a machine. You know what happens when the soul leaves the physical body? The physical body is not functional anymore. Where is the consciousness then? Can't even move his hand, how can there be consciousness? So it is the soul, the spirit, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that makes all things seem to go. But it is still from the spiritual aspect. So life, real life, is eternal. We're talking about the life of the soul, not the life of the body. Everybody has a particular time the body won't function anymore. So, life is eternal because real life is spiritual, and spiritual life is eternal life, therefore life is eternal. Spiritual nature is also blissful. Material nature, on the other hand, is temporary and is subject to destruction. It won't even just disappear, it will actually get destroyed. That's what Lord Shiva does. It's temporary and is subject to destruction. And suffering occurs, it happens when a living entity identifies with this temporary material nature and accepts it as the all in all. That's where suffering really is. When a person identifies with material nature, first thing, I am this body, they're already in trouble. As soon as I am this body, then everything that follows from that doesn't really make sense spiritually. Because then the conception of God is wrong, conception of life is wrong, conception of reincarnation is wrong. So many things just go off just by saying, I am this body. And so suffering, of course, when a person says, I'm this body, then when the body gets sick, then it's, we are sick. I am sick. Devotees do say, I am sick, but because that's just the way we speak. Right, normally, I remember one time, I was a bhakta, not initiated yet. My birthday came around, it comes around in April, and later that year I got initiated. But the Tira Maharaj was in Washington, D.C. at the time, up in the second floor in his suite, and I went there, it was my birthday, And somehow I wanted to let him know that it was my birthday. So I went up there and said, Maharaj, it's my birthday today. Oh, good, 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 good. And then he asked me a question I'd never forget. He says, normally what would you say? How old are you, right? He didn't say it like that. He said, how old is the body? So he made a distinction immediately. How old is the body? And he made, I answered him, but he made me think immediately. See, he's not thinking in terms of the body. Right? It's nice you have a birthday, but it's birthday based on your body. Your soul doesn't have that birthday. It's been around since Krishna's been around. And that's forever. So it made me think. The spiritual masters, the little things they say here and there can really teach you. So when we become detached from this body, then we're not in a suffering condition anymore. We can't actually physically detach, but we certainly can mentally detach them. And that's where the teaching comes in. That's where Krishna is pushing. That's where all of the sadhus in the line of the parampara are teaching. Disconnect from the body. If you disconnect from the body, mentally, I'm not this body, then actually liberation has started. Liberation has already started when you accept that you're not this body. And when we say we're not this body, then the answer is, who are we? And of course, Srila Prabhupada's mercy has told us so many times. We are the soul, and so then we begin to act based on supplying food for the soul. In Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that becomes important. Material life is not important. It doesn't matter how much time it takes from us daily. Material life is not important. Material life is only necessary. We are not this body. If we're carrying a physical body, and we are, we have to take care of the physical body. So it's become a necessary thing to do. If you don't do it and say, I am a soul, therefore I'm not going to take care of the body will give you problems. And besides, you can't do any spiritual activity anyway, because we do all the spiritual activities with the same physical body. Even the Hare Krishna mantra, we just use our voices, physical parts. So yes, it's important to take care of the body. I mean, it's necessary to take care of the body. But the important thing is how to get out of here. And that is spiritual life. That is Bhakti Yoga. So, real knowledge is to change the quality of our lives based on the real knowledge of who we are. The quality of our lives, meaning that don't take material life as important. It's necessary. Take spiritual life as important. And keep that foremost in our minds. People who are ignorant are those who are thinking that the soul is meant to serve the body and the material senses. Consciousness is supposed to serve the body. Those who understand know it the other way. The body is supposed to serve the soul's interest. The body is to serve the soul. In Krishna consciousness, and back to yoga, so that the soul can get out of here where it doesn't belong, where we don't belong. The ignorant think that we're supposed to serve the body. So then they work that way. And what that does is, it entangles, anybody who thinks that way, entangles the person in the ropes of the three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, the three modes of material nature are working together. And they're working very powerfully and very immensely. And all our actions, even for the body, when you think about that, we're still influenced to a great extent by the three modes of material nature. So how can we overcome the three modes of material nature? Everything that we do, there is some sort of reaction under the three modes of material nature. We can say, all right, mode of goodness, the mind decides we're going to be kind, we're going to be pious, we're going to be very friendly, giving, and so on. Not too long after that kind of thought comes, but I have to succeed. but I have to make money, but I have to pay my bills. And here the mode of goodness mentality now goes to the mode of passion, because now it's become a necessity to do what it takes to live in this material world. And that's a good reason, but still, that drives us to try to make money. And then, if we're not careful, making money makes us want to make more money. There was an interview given, and this is a long time ago, over 20 years ago, that I heard some millionaires, there were questions about money. And they were asked, one was asked, so you were not a millionaire some time back, now you are, you've made the money, what is your next aim then? So the person that's asking the question is making the, well, you know, I've become a millionaire, she's presupposing, the person who's asking the question, that this millionaire will be satisfied. Are you okay now with your life being a millionaire? She said, no. And, alright, so no. Why? And that's what the astounding answer was. He said that, because I have to make my next million. Because I have to make my next million. I have to make the next million. And then after that, make another million. Well, there's some people that have 10 million, I have 2 million, so I have to catch up with them. So being a millionaire, you think that, oh, now I can buy a lot of things that I want to buy. No, what happened was being a millionaire made that person greedy for more. So, more passion. And then, sometimes, somebody does something to us and we get very angry. Or there's so much anxiety in life, let me just go find some alcohol. We're not talking about you. Find some alcohol, something to make me forget. But those kinds of so-called solutions now give us what? Problems with our physical body, because alcohol will take its toll. Sometimes even parents, we have to be very careful how we relate to our children. Because the child may do something that's very good and we'll be very happy and praise the child and even reinforce the praise so that the child will think to do more good things, part of the training. So that's motor goodness. And then the child does something really, really bad, really pushes a button. And now, here you are, angry. Right? And anger is a motor ignorance. You might even want to strike the child. You may not do it. The Papa says not to do, by the way. But that feeling will come. So even with devotees, which is with everybody, really, the modes of material nature pull us one time this way, one time that way. Sometimes it's more of goodness, sometimes more of ignorance, and back to passion, and back to ignorance, and back up to goodness, like that, all around, all around, all around. And so, good understanding of how these material nature modes work, and the fact that it's important to stay with the spiritual instruction that have been given to us and follow it. See, if we do that, then we're going to earn the mercy and be able to get out and get liberated. But whether we like it or not, just like non-devotees are, we are all in this same material soup. We're in it, whether we like it or not. The only difference is devotees know that we're in the material soup and we got to swim out of it or get into the boat that relieves us from it. And non-devotees think, I have to make it in this. Somehow I have to get dry. But you can't get out of that soup. Somehow I have to be dry. They're kidding themselves. But they don't realize they're kidding themselves. And so, how to get out is extremely, extremely important. And this is what all of the Parampara sadhus, including Srila Prabhupada, are telling us to do and giving us specific instructions to do it. We shouldn't act like elephants. The elephant can go in the water and clean themselves very nicely. and then come out of the water and roll in the dirt and get dirty again. This goes on so many times. Even in some of the Christian churches this goes on. I have sinned. Especially, I started out Catholic, so I know this very well. On the weekends, you go, you see the priest, and you confess your sins to the priest. Okay, then they set it up so there's some anonymity there. There's some kind of curtain between you and the priest. The priest really can't see you. You tell him what your sins are. They give you some prayers to say for atonement. So that's done. It's called confession. Then, the next week, you start all over again. The same sins that you confessed, get back into it again. So, the mind is what holds us into doing things that we know we're wrong and confessed about. You just do it again. Just like the elephant. Goes in the water, cleans himself, comes back out. Dirty before they went in the water, clean himself, comes back, makes himself dirty again. So that's going nowhere. That's going nowhere. So, the first thing, controlling the mind. Now, for most of us, myself included, we should neglect what the mind says and hear what Krishna says. Many, many, many times, we're trying to be better devotees and the mind is telling, but do this other thing, but do this other thing. And most of the time, the ideas they give are ideas that will keep us entangled in the three modes of material nature. So we have to be very careful to control the mind. But who can really control the mind? Arjuna said it's not possible. It's like controlling the wind. You can't control the wind. Well, we can't do it unless Krishna helps us. That's the way it works. We cannot do it on our own. Krishna would help us. So, what is the aim of life? To get Krishna to help. If we can't control our mind and Krishna can do everything, including helping us to control our mind, then we have to do what it takes for Krishna to help us control our minds. Well, how do you get Krishna's help? There is Bhakti Yoga. Well, there is Bhakti Yoga, though that's true. But Krishna relates to devotees in love. Therefore, we have to pour our hearts out to everything that we do in serving Krishna. That is the key. It's not a question of just doing the service, do the service. Do the service from your heart. Krishna is looking at our hearts. Not how wonderfully we do the service, because nobody is perfect. That's the imperfections of humans. We are not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. So when we do the service, devotional service, from our hearts, that's surrender to Krishna. It means the same thing. Surrendering to Krishna. So, let's take some examples. For those who are chanting 16 rounds, wonderful. Srila Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds. So we chant 16 rounds. Actually, Srila Prabhupada didn't say chant 16 rounds. He said more than that. He just said, chant 16 rounds minimum. Chant 16 rounds minimum. Down from 64 rounds, though. It used to be, it would be 64 rounds, right? So, chant 16 rounds minimum. So if we chant 16 rounds, then we have obeyed Srila Prabhupada, which is satisfying to the guru, and we can earn Krishna's mercy that way also by obeying guru. Now we know Srila Prabhupada said chant 16 rounds. So what if we ourselves chant 16 rounds and then we decide we'll chant one more round or maybe two more rounds, just get to about 18 rounds and make the decision to stay with 17 or 18 rounds today? Now, you know whose attention that gets? Krishna's attention. Krishna himself. Because Krishna knows that Srila Prabhupada has given us mercy to do 16 rounds. And a person has said, on my own, I'm going to do more than the minimum. I'm going to do more. That makes Krishna sense, oh, this person really, really wants to connect more with me. Now, it doesn't have to be rounds only. If you want to do that, you can. But it still boils down to everything that we do, do with greater quality. Whatever service that you have, this time, put some more attention into it, increase the quality. Because if we increase the quality, then it means we are saying to Krishna, I really want to connect with you in love. And that way, Krishna will also reciprocate in love. So, we should realize that Krishna never forgets anything. There's stories about it. Situations, especially Ajamil. Ajamil, in the Shastra, brought up in a very, very nice, fixed-up family. And then, unfortunately, when he got older, he got married and so on. And one time, he happened to come upon a woman of the world, prostitute, relating to some person, and he watched what happened, and his mind went, couldn't control his mind, and he wanted that woman. And so he made arrangements to get rid of his fixed up devotional wife and marry this particular woman. And then, obviously, since the type of woman that, for the type of woman that she was, Ajamil's association totally changed. It became non-devotional. Okay? Lived a material life. Messed up his life, basically, from a spiritual standpoint. But he had a son, and that son, Krishna, induced his mind to call that son Narayan. And so, remember, Ajamil started out a very fixed up devotee, in a very fixed up devotee family. So he had done things in Bhakti Yoga, and the spiritual credits were there in the spiritual bank account. That's there. Then he fell into material life. He got to a point where he got older, just like everybody is either there or will get there. And it seemed at some point he would have to leave his body. And he saw the Yamadutas coming. And the Yamadutas are the ones that send a person's subtle body, they pull the subtle body and soul and send it to Yamaraj for judgment. And the Yamadutas are very strong. Can't fight them. And the Yamadutas are hideous looking. So immediately if you see them, they inject fear immediately just by seeing them. So Ajamil could see them because he was leaving the body at that time, so he was actually more connecting to the other side, as the people like to say. And he got scared. Now, this youngest son called Narayan, he happened to love very much. So he called for Narayan. He called for his son. And by screaming Narayan, and Narayan is the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he called Narayan, his son, whether he came or not, didn't matter at that point, but spiritually he got a huge, huge boon for just doing that. The Vishnu Dudas showed up. Those are agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they were very effulgent. They also came and basically stopped the Yamadudas and said, you can't take this one. Now, the Yamadudas got surprised. They didn't even know the Vishnu Dudas at all. Their master was Yamaraj, and their job was every time whoever was ready to go and, you know, leave this world, and based on whatever they've done that's sinful, be taken, and judgment will be put on that person. They are also the ones that are expert in punishing in the different hellish planets, the same Yamadutas. But because Ajamil called out Narayan, then the Vishnu Dudas came and stopped the Yamadutas from taking him away. So that day, Ajamil did not die. Ajamil was given a chance to live a few more years after that. But that was quite an experience. Quite an experience. So that changed Ajamil's life and made him take spiritual life very, very seriously. So, Krishna realizes everything that we do. It wasn't the life that he lived that was horrible that made Krishna give him the mercy. But two things. One, he had already built spiritual credits before he fell into this. Second, because he had those spiritual qualities, Krishna induced him to name his son that he loved the most by his own name, Narayan. Krishna knows the future. So basically, he gave him the mercy for having helped. So everything that we do in Krishna consciousness, it's in our spiritual bank account. Narada Muni also has stressed that there is no loss or diminution. It will be there. So it really is a question of, yes, we are in the right place. Do we really want to end material life with this physical body? Or do we want to take it a little less seriously? So we have to come back in another physical body in Kali Yuga, which is getting worse and worse and worse. It doesn't get better. Okay. So the understanding of who Krishna is, who the living entity is, the material modes, nature, and how they are interacting, and taking that, the whole understanding, into consideration and leading a more serious and devoted life in Krishna consciousness will give us liberation, and therefore we wouldn't have to return to this place. So, one important thing associated with devotees. Devotees, associating with them and associate in a positive way. That means no offenses. We shouldn't offend devotees. We shouldn't gossip with devotees. We shouldn't get angry with devotees. We shouldn't criticize devotees. If we do that, then Srimati Radharani gets upset with us. And if she says no, Krishna's not going to say yes. I'm sorry. This is my guide through time. Reminding me. So, association is important. And also hearing. Hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To associate with devotees and associate positively, associate with fixed up devotees. Okay, like we'll give an example. If you want to learn how to play tennis, you don't play with a beginner. So you're not going to be very good at it if you play with a beginner. You have to play with somebody that can teach you more things. You know how to play better. So fix that devotees, be closer to them. And you can see them by how they act and how they take the process seriously. So, hearing. Hopefully this is going to be our New Year's resolution. That we should try to hear lectures every single day. Every single day. It's so important. If we want to be better devotees, then we have to be guided. And how do we get guided? If we hear lectures, there will be guidance in the lectures. Lord is so merciful that every time any lecture is heard, there is something to learn from it. Difficulty we're having, Krishna shows us how through the hearing process, and then we apply it. We should apply it. Don't hear just to hear. It's a waste of time then. We should apply it, and that improves our lives. But let's come back to this. Pouring our heart into everything that we do. Believe me, this is the huge key to making us better devotees. The struggles that we have in devotional life, the struggles, even some of the regulated principles. Sometimes, some of the regulated principles have been totally pushed out of the system. No mediating, no gambling, whatever. But some of them, we are just repressing. We still have desire for it, and we're trying to fight the desire. So it hasn't gone yet. And I want to stick my neck out and say illicit sex is one of them. Because there's been statistics, and I know that statistics in ISKCON, it says that. So before, quite a few people, a good percentage of people, struggle with that. Now, when we put our heart into our service, when we give more to devotees from our hearts, then Krishna reciprocates in two ways: protection and then purification. And the purification process is how he helps us to finally get rid of the sinful desire that's still there, even if we're repressing whatever it is that we're repressing. It's only when we pour our hearts out to him in devotion service, and we keep hearing, and whatever is minimum, try to do a little more, Because this all shows Krishna that we want to take him more seriously. Then he wants you to go back. And he knows that some of these regulative principles, if you stick with any of them, that means we're still stuck in sense gratification. We can't go back. So then he helps that way to get out of it. In everybody's situation, there is no set way in which Krishna does things, because we all think differently. But there is a way, and Krishna has more ways than Maya has to actually trick us. Krishna controls Maya. And so it is possible, and he will do it. But if you just give a little bit, Krishna is the minimum, and His Holiness Chandra Maharaj Swami makes even a joke out of it. He says, some people will chant 16 rounds, they get up in the morning, take the japa, and chant 16 rounds, and when they finish, he says, I'm done. I'm done with 16 rounds now, I can do anything I want the rest of the day. That's not loving Krishna. That's like a typical Christian that says, well, I have to go to church on Sabbath because if I don't do what God's going to, you know, fill in the rest. God's going to do this to me, God's going to do that to me. No, we are supposed to, Krishna prema is a devotee's aim. We're supposed to learn how to love Krishna. And if you love someone, what do? You give quite a bit to them. You give without expecting much back from them. Anything back from them. So if we're going to love Krishna, then we should learn to give and give our hearts to him. Not say, Baba says, you know, okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Prabhu, don't bother me because I'm done with my spiritual duties. So now I can do whatever I want. No, it doesn't work like that. We need to go beyond sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is there, but sadhana bhakti is the minimum. That's instruction from the spiritual master on what to do. But we should put our hearts out and go beyond that. Every little, and when we're talking a lot, every little more that we do gets Krishna's attention. And ye yatama pravajante tam satava vajami aham. To the extent that we surrender, he rewards accordingly. And he already wants us back to the spiritual world, so what's the reward we're going to get? Whatever it takes for us to go back to the spiritual world. So whatever is obfuscating or stopping us from going, Krishna's going to help remove it. But only when we give our hearts to them. So that's the key. So as Krishna says, when we understand who Krishna is, the material nature, the living entity, and the modes of material nature and how they're working, then liberation is there for all of us. Now, we shouldn't be, the final thing, we shouldn't just stick to, oh, well, liberation for me, therefore I plan for me. That's selfishness. We have to get as many people ready to also go. So we give. If they won't hear Krishna consciousness, give them prasadam. Because that starts the spiritual life. And give the type of prasadam you know they're going to eat. Even if it's just a little snack. Something they really would like, whoever it is. For devotees, that's the nectar of instruction. Exchanges of love. Give gifts. Receive gifts. Please do that, because that really improves the relationship between them. Just imagine giving gifts and receiving gifts. Who's not going to like it? Who's not going to like you? Give prasadam, because prasadam is Krishna. Receive prasadam, because you receive Krishna. Give non-devotees prasadam. And then, whatever it is that's disturbing our minds, we can reveal our minds in confidence about how to improve and how to give ourselves more to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, take everything that's talked to anyone in confidence. The best thing to do is to respond to it based on Krishna consciousness, but also respect the person's confidentiality. That's important. Okay. As soon as you break it, then you are a big gossiper, and Paramatma has already noted that, and now you're in trouble. And I'm in trouble if I did that. So it's very important that they seem like little things, but those are the ones that make Krishna, if we take those things seriously, put our hearts out in everything that we do, do a little more in quality or in quantity, then Krishna will also help us. Every little thing we do, Krishna does even more for us to bring us closer and closer to him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, we have 5 minutes. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
Thanks. What I summarize is this. All the key to all the sufferings is our untamed mind.
Mm.
And also we heard from you in the lecture, in the beginning, initially, the material nature is unconscious, it's lifeless.
Mm.
As you know, action is kind of dormant. When the material world is injected with a consciousness which is super soul, then the life comes into it. But my question is, it looks like the super soul, which is the source of the life of material nature, that means it's kind of dormant. It depends on the super soul, which is the source. In other words, the dependent is a kind of slave to the master, to the super soul. In this scenario, how this turning to slave becomes master, which is mind controls everything, and super soul becomes dormant?
Well, the super soul is not dormant in a sense of, you know, some of the things you said, the super soul is the master now, right? It's actually the master, but you're talking about the mind taking over, basically.
And all the suffering starts, and we start learning how to get out of it. All this comes much later.
Well, fortunately, it comes at all. Some people are not even trying to get out. Okay? Still, depending on the mind. Depending on the mind. That is our dilemma. That is our misfortune. What you describe here is precisely what's going on in the material world. Coming to the material world, falling because of envy of Krishna. Now we're in this particular situation, and we're not turning to God. Our God is our mind. Whatever the mind says, we do. The demons say, enjoy everything that's here, enjoy it to the fullest. It is exactly against what the devotee is taught to do. Detach from everything material here and concentrate on Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So, day for the devotee is night for the non-devotee, and night for the devotee is day for the non-devotee. So, the thing is, it's not that the mind controls. The mind controls if we let it and believe that life is based on the physical body. That's when then the mind really can take control and be there in control. And the super soul doesn't interfere because the whole program is about loving God. It's about loving God, whether the devotees know it or not know it. So when we talk about love, how can Krishna force anyone to love him? Decree number one, you have to love me. You have to love me. It doesn't work like that. The gopis are not required to love Krishna. They do it on their own. They do it on their own. So then if a person decides that God is not going to be in my life and I'm going to do what my mind tells me to do, that's their decision. And that's why the Paramatma, it seems like he's in control, but the Paramatma doesn't interfere, because love means give, but give from your heart. So no love means I'm not going to give from my heart, I decide to go this way. But actually, Krishna, it's funny, he says to the Bhagavad Gita, everybody is on my path, because he owns the material energy too. So even if we go there, you're still with Krishna, but he'll beat you up there. That's the difference. This other part, he's the living in. This other part, he's going to beat you. Okay, he doesn't, the material nature beats you. So, yes, the Paramatma is there, Paramatma doesn't interfere. Paramatma actually facilitates. You want to do bad? Fine. But there's reaction. You want to do good? You're thinking then. Because you have to be liberated and get out of this material world. That Paramatma will help you. So we should really be thankful to our spiritual masters for pointing us in the right direction. because we really, really would never have understood what life was about until Srila Prabhupada or those before him came and guided us. Of course, we know Srila Prabhupada more than anyone else. But all the Parampara has been there. Lord Chaitanya, all of them have been there assisting us. And then I've gone a little long on it. But the short answer to that is, yes, the Paramatma is in control, but because we have to relate to Krishna in love, the Paramatma gives us a choice to love Krishna or love Maya. And it just, you know, facilitates us as need be. So then it comes to this. When we have good understanding that this is material nature, this is the most material nature, here is God and here is a living entity and this is how I'm supposed to live my life. Das, 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 anudas. Then the liberation is there. So it's a choice, actually. It's not like the Paramatma is not in control. Does that help?
That helps, but helps me to ask the next question.
Okay, follow up.
Sorry,
Rob. It's okay, no problem.
If that is the case, then when the individual or the soul starts doing the devotional services, mm-hmm. Lord also brings the Maya and dominates all the efforts that are being rendered by the marginal soul.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? It's so much constraint and hurdles one has to go through. Mm-hmm. If Krishna's desire is to bring the soul even closer,
mm-hmm.
Don't you think the
master should
be making it
easier to do? It would take about 10 minutes to answer that question, but we'll do a short thing. Maya's function, as my spiritual master likes to put it, Krishna is pulling us towards him, and Maya is beating us from the back, also towards Krishna. What Maya really does is challenge us in our weaknesses. This is what's going on. We say we want to be a devotee. We say we want to get away from sense gratification. Maya says, really? Okay, I'm going to try this and see whether you really will get away from it. So Maya is testing us. And the more we pass the test, the more growth we get in Krishna consciousness. So that's really what's going on. But sometimes Maya is so good at it, it seems like, you know, dominance, as you call it, dominance. Maya cannot dominate the mind of a devotee unless the devotee allows that person and Maya to do that. So if we come under the shelter, associating with devotees and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Maya cannot win. Even though the real function is to point out to us what it is that we need to work on. But again, it comes to, all right, so I have difficulty working on this. Put your heart out in service to Krishna. Believe me, it works. Put your heart out in service to Krishna. Put your heart out in service to Krishna. I'm trying to do it myself. That's why I'm just doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Because you see it, individually in our lives, things change for the better. The more that we give out, the more Krishna helps. And Maya doesn't become so important anymore. Things that we used to be so attached to it, now we look at it, nah. We can actually, mentally, just get away from it. Literally. So it works. Krishna consciousness works. Otherwise, the Papa wouldn't have struggled to come and give all of this to us. It does work. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
In the transmission of the verse, Prabhupada mentioned that Purusham is living entity. But in the same chapter, Krishna says that, you know, he is the Purusham and we are the Prakriti.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why Prabhupada mentioned
Krishna? The text mentioned, I'm going to go back to the text. This. Right? Yeah, the living entities as Purusham. Okay. We have to understand that material nature is Prakriti. Feminine. Krishna is dominant. Yes. But in a sense, in a spiritual sense, since we as souls are part and parcel of Krishna, so that you can make that distinction between material energy and the living entity. The living entity is of the superior energy. But after having said that, still Krishna is the supreme controller, and we are supposed to serve. So as far as the energies go, we are of the superior energy. We are carrying inferior energy material bodies with us too, because those of us here, those in the material, I mean the spiritual world, they're not carrying that. They are fully souls expanded in the constitutional positions that they're in, and that is termed on the superior energy. So I would look at it in terms of superior and inferior energy only, but not wisdom like Krishna. We are the level of, because that's my about philosophy. We don't want to deal with that. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you for tolerating me. Shri Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Thakur ki, Itai Gaurav Hemalandi. Thank you.